welcome to West Side Story. Today we're doing writing, and we have a special guest with us today, as we're planning on having a guest for most episodes, so special is normal. it is Chris from We Are Willow. What is We Are Willow, and what is Chris?
Chris is a normal person. We Are Willow is a UK art collective of artists and musicians.
And Chris, do you do writing as part of
We Are
Willow?
Do is that writing. Why you're here? I do lots of writing.
Great. Do you know what a dick def is?
I can imagine a few dick defs. I'm assuming we're talking about dictionary definitions.
We are.
Or a penis that's hard of hearing. So it begins.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to do this professionally then.
If you want.
Dick def. Writing, noun. Number one, the activity or skill of writing. Parents want schools to concentrate on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Number two, the activity or occupation of composing text for publication. She made a decent living from writing.
Oh, good for her.
Wow. What about him? That's what I said.
You can edit that, can't you, if that's on Wikipedia?
Yeah, you can.
Never
just go ahead and change
it. Have you ever rewritten a Wikipedia entry?
I wrote a whole piece on cheddar cheese and put in a cheddar cheese festival that was really famous.
Oh.
Stayed on for about 6 months. Just made it up. Is that good or not?
Really?
I mean, I prefer to go outside.
What do you mean?
Then not.
Oh, play outside. There's phones. You can do it outside. You can do it on the move.
Oh, true.
You can always penetrate Wikipedia. That's how they say.
Do
that. How you invade stuff, yeah. Like, if you're hacking something, you're penetrating it.
Oh,
have a penetration test. They call it a pen test, so no one laughs.
Oh, right.
And everyone's professional.
So but pen it's test the dick death.
Yeah. let's penetrate the dick death.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really thought you said you can do it on the moon, not on the move.
You probably could.
Do you reckon there's signal on the moon?
Is there a wiffy on the moon?
There probably is.
In your shuttle.
Just setting up a VPN on the moon. I'm quite interested in our guests. And have you been on a podcast before?
No, I've done quite a bit of radio, but I haven't done a podcast.
Oh, right. Well, how did you warm up for the podcast today?
I had a sausage roll and a vodka tonic.
Set the mood. Where were you? What were you doing?
Oh, no, well, I've been working at home today, writing.
Were you writing?
I've been writing quite a lot today.
Brilliant.
And working on certain We Are Willow projects. And then I had a bath with a glass of white wine, just as a little bookend of a working day. Yeah. And then I got the tram to town and got a sausage roll.
Do you have one of those boards?
Tins.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those boards that go across the bath? Where do you put your wine in the bath?
I tend to move a selection of cleaning products and have it to high right.
I was doing that last night and I genuinely had the thought that I was like, why don't we have one of them bath trays? I could put my book on it and my wine on it, so I'm going
to
get one.
Well, I listen to podcasts in the bath.
Do you?
That's an electrical hazard.
Well, I put the... I'm trying to visualise. Yeah, so wine on the right, phone on the left, but on the toilet top.
This is really interesting. I'm actually kind of... Like, I find it... I don't really have baths. I'm a shower girl. And baths are really hard to do stuff in.
Yeah, I just get really bored. I can have a bath for about 5 minutes and I'm like, done.
If you zone out, it's quite nice.
Yeah, I'm not
You don't want to zone out in a bath.
That's what I'm not good
that's,
at.
That's you, drowning.
Embrace it. No, zone out. Don't die.
I'm all right. If I've got something to do, like if I need to shave my legs, that's a thing to do in the bath. But then,
I want to shower
afterwards.
You've come out covered in little wet hairs.
Yeah, but then you have a shower after the bath, so then why did you have a bath?
Oh, but see, is this a thing that, like, is this an actual thing that you shave your legs in the bath and then have a shower after?
I did yesterday.
Do you?
Wow.
I'm glad there's not a hose pipe ban on.
Because then you can get all the different angles that you need for your legs.
But
you can't always do it standing up. Sometimes
do you like float around and spin to get all the right angles? Like zero gravity shaving.
Well, that's a thing in films, isn't it? Like
shaving your legs in the bath. That's the thing.
And men can shave their legs.
Yeah,
in the
I basically bathroom. Pretend that I'm in a film.
And you're sticking your leg out and doing all the shaving thing. Yeah.
But I do find it hard to relax. Have you ever been in a flotation tank?
No.
So I went in one of those, and you're supposed to relax. They play you music and have all these different lights. I was trying to do sit-ups in it. I was just, like, so bored. I was like, what can I do? What can I do?
What does it look like? I can't imagine a floating.
It's like a little alien pod. Yeah. No. It's like your whole body in there, and you're floating in this saline water.
But there's a lid on it. There's a lid, and your head just sticks out.
No, you're all in it, in the dark. And then you can turn these, like, coloured lights. You can turn these coloured lights on if you want.
Sounds like a form of torture.
And you try doing sit-ups.
Well, people find it... Yeah,
because... Slightly lighter waterboarding.
Well, it was like a whole hour that you're supposed to just float and chill, and people find it really mindful, and people like really like
for an hour in the dark. I wonder how many people piss them. I bet there's so many people taking a sneaky wee in those.
They do filter it after you've had a go, so I think that's fine.
After you've had a go,
yeah,
a little pull in the dark.
As long as you're just in it,
get the lights
up. It's just you, and then. But I just got so bored, so I was like, "Yeah, what can I do?" And I was like, "Oh, I wonder if I'm weightless. A sit-up's easier."
Like crunches.
Yeah, I was just super bored.
Saying that, I had a swim in a sauna this morning.
A swim in a sauna.
Swim and a sauna. Oh, right. But these people go into the sauna and do crunches and dips. And I used to go to a sauna where there was a guy. He said he hadn't eaten for 2 days. And he was training for a fight. He's like a cage fight. He's a right muppet. But he wrapped himself in plastic bags. And then he was clothed. So he had a t-shirt on underneath. You know, he's obviously trying to lose all his body fat. And he hadn't eaten in 2 days. And I was like...
It's too much, isn't it?
Well, it's just like...
Don't ruin the sauna. The sauna is where you go, let your man boobs hang out... Make your little sweaty crease between your beer belly and your man boobs. And it's okay, because it's a relaxed zone.
Yeah.
And the only thing you need to think about in the sauna is, do I need it a bit hotter? Shall I go up a step?
Always up. Or shall I go down a step? Always go up. Always up.
Now, one thing I don't like about a sauna is when they have those electric ones where you don't have your little bucket of water in your spoon to flick it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need the little flick now and again to last the sauna through.
Council saunas don't have the whole flick.
The council
You've
sauna?
You've discussed saunas on this podcast before.
I know.
Yeah, and I've listened
to
that.
Thing.
It's getting repetitive, this,
thanks,
isn't it?
Thanks for listening.
I'm a big fan of saunas.
Right. You got a Provla or anything?
I think we should try and do a loose segue. I read a book on a sauna today. It was great. Right, do you have a Provla?
Did you write that book, Wes?
I shouldn't I? Sauna Life by Wes.
Well, that's what I was kind of going to ask. Like, what have you written?
What have I written?
So outside the things that we all have to write, maybe like at school you have to write essays or things, but like creatively or off your own back, what have you written?
Remember, you have to write checks.
Oh. Yeah, my dad still writes checks for his takeaway.
For a takeaway?
For a takeaway?
Did he accept checks for a takeaway?
Yeah.
Did they?
There's one weird little, really good actually, Asian takeaway. It's called Asiana.
In the 1950s.
It's an Indian takeaway. And I'm pretty sure the last time I was there and we were having takeaway on a Friday night, he wrote them a cheque.
I can see him having like lots of cheques, but like he's written them all from 10 years ago for every Friday night.
Yeah.
And they're
literally
just like on a peg.
Same
and
price.
He pulls up, oh, Friday night again. Pull it off. The date's correct.
Not far. You're not far.
Gonna get my chicken pakoras.
But I used to look, like when I was a kid, I always used to be like, oh yeah, because my mum and dad used to write checks in the supermarket and all sorts. And
my dad used to.
Don't exist now.
Do you not write checks anymore?
My mum refuses to get online banking.
Does she?
And she always writes me fucking checks, so I have to go to a stupid bank. Yeah. She's an absolute dinosaur and she should be extinct.
My dad doesn't do online banking, but he phones up HSBC all the time to transfer money.
Yeah.
Just does it all the time. Like, you know, you could just, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
What I don't get is, right, they hate online banking, but they think it's secure to go into the bank and be like, hi, could I have £1,000 and walk all the way down the street with it, please?
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, you idiot. Yeah. Sort yourself out. Oh, God. Yeah, it annoys me. Anyway.
Checks. Although I do quite like getting a check. If you ever get a check and a card.
Not interested.
Yeah. It's just, a check in a card is like, go for a walk, you fat bastard. That's what it says.
Or you just...
Otherwise you give someone a tenner. A tenner and a check is an insult. It's an insult these days.
I don't think if you gave me a card with a tenner in, I'd be insulted.
No, a check though. Oh. But they're checking it.
Oh, right.
A ten is nice. A check's an insult.
So, like, my auntie, who is also my dad's sister, so maybe it's something in their family, she wrote me a check for my birthday recently, and she gave me the amount in pounds of how old I was. I think that's adorable. So what kind of things do you write? Do you write poems for anyone?
I write lyrics.
You write lyrics. And then, how do you write lyrics?
How do I write lyrics?
Because isn't a lyric just a poem to music?
Well, let's go back a few steps. When I told someone that I was coming on to this podcast,
yeah,
I said, oh, they invited me on, and the topic is writing. Yeah. And a person said to me, the act of writing, or the words that you're writing, which opened up a discussion into calligraphy, lettering, typography.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, no, it's about what I write, I think. I'm not sure, I'm just going to go on it anyway and see what happens.
Oh, it can be anything. I think that's the beauty of it. I thought you were going to say... whichever kind of writing that you want.
I thought he was going to say he wrote a poem for us then.
No.
Perhaps a loon. Like, do you know what a loon is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
It's, is it 5-3-5?
I think so.
Syllables. Like a haiku, just different.
What about you, Wes? Do you write people poems and things?
I used to call myself a writer.
What? Did you?
I've written a lot. I preempted Brexit in writing.
In writing?
Really? I did. Preempted Brexit in writing. I did another piece that was about a guy called Dram Dram that was a prophet. He had a little demon thing that pissed him off. That was another one I never finished, yeah.
Dram Dram?
Dram Dram.
So what
like a short story?
No, it was a script.
A script?
A script. Oh. See, I've done short stories before too.
There's a lot of people who say they used to do art, or they used to write, they used to do it. So why did you stop?
Now, here's the thing. It's great being writer. I'm a writer.
You are a writer.
No, but it's great being, I'm a writer, right? But you know what the one thing that stops some people from being writers and not? Yeah. The hardest thing in writing...
is to write.
No, is to put your arse in a seat long enough to finish something. I hate that. I just can't... because you finish the story in your own head. And I know you can change it as you get to it, but once it's done in my head, I'm bored.
You've got closure. Like,
I'll just keep that story for myself.
So also, you're a thinker, not a writer.
Well, I mean, half of it's down.
Do you have say you are a writer to write?
I mean, does a tree that falls in the woods
I'm a writer, I write.
I guess if you're... I guess people would say that if they're a professional writer, and by that I mean if they get paid and earn a living, like that lady in the Dick Death, she's a writer because she did a living.
Yeah, but loads of writers died and the stuff was found. True. And they're called writers, but they're dead.
So are we all writers?
I don't know.
I bet we've all written something today. Oh, but is it writing or typing?
I think everyone writes, though. It depends if you're a good writer or not. I think that's the thing. Maybe people that are actually doing all right with it should be like, I'm a good writer.
Ed wants to pop back and talk about the loon.
And this is being very PC. Loon is in poem.
Yeah.
Not as in a potential.
L-U-N-E.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just before we get sued or someone calls us on PC.
This is how it's written. The loon rhymes with moon. It's a very short poem. It's similar.
You missed the A. It's very short poem.
It's similar to the popular haiku form of poetry. While a haiku follows a 5-7-5 syllable pattern, the loon syllable pattern is 5-3-5. Typically, since the middle line is restricted to the three syllables, it is the shortest line of the three.
Well, there
Thanks,
we go.
Ed. We've spoken about things that we've written. What about writing that you've received?
I received some writing today.
Did you?
From some poets.
Well, I thought you were going to say it was a bill.
I hadn't received it today, but I had to proofread it before it went to print on an album sleeve.
Okay.
And I've got the audio version, so I listened to the audio to edit the typed version and listen to it to really absorb myself in the work. And
this
really
is the most, is the most high culture West Side story I've ever got.
Great. Well, you've caught me at a good time. Yeah. I'm pretty busy with writing at the moment.
So what came first, the writing or the audio?
The chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
They wrote the work, we recorded them speaking the words, and then they sent over the written piece that's going to feature on the sleeve.
Do you rate the words?
I'm very glad I rate the words, because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And all four are amazing. but completely different.
I heard a thing recently where poetry shouldn't... Not all the lines of a poem should make sense.
Well, is it poetry? See, I've been classing it as spoken word, and we've had a
discussion
about this.
Spoken word's poetry, but you're trying to make it a bit cooler.
Yeah, but then poetry sometimes to me sounds a bit twee.
A bit archaic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're saying it wrong. Because you're saying it like poetry, but it's potry.
Potry.
No, it's great.
Poetry.
It's
just body down, do a bit of potry, mate.
Potry's
doing a bit of potry down here.
Yeah. Ceramics.
A bowl. Yeah.
No, that's pottery, which is also in Lancashire called pottery.
Pottery.
They'd be like, I'm going down to my pottery shed. But if you're doing a bit of poetry, it's I'm going to do some pottery.
I mean, whether it's poetry or spoken word, they class themselves as spoken word artists.
Yeah.
So, I guess performance artists.
Have you ever received any bad words?
Yeah, I think I've. Yeah.
All right.
Got a telling off.
Go on, Nadia. You were about to tell us a story.
Oh, I just.
Bad words.
I received a weird poem in school from a bit of a stalky guy.
Mm. Do you have it to hand?
No.
Damn it!
No, I couldn't find it.
Dear Nadia, I'm so glad I saw you today.
Really? A bit.
It just got a bit creepy, a bit like.
How old were you?
Personal. Like physically.
So much so it shook
you,
you
a
to
bit like.
Personal.
You know, but it was a bit like your boobs are now. Nah, nah,
how
nah,
old
nah,
were you?
Nah.
This is.
Like, was it John Cooper?
We're nah. Rap a nah nah boobs you.
Your boobs are like nanas. Dropped and bendy, but they still point forwards.
Was it you, Wes?
Their nips are like absolutely great. Millions sat on top of an ice cream with a banana. Banana split, that is it. Thank you, Nadia.
Which line in that was the one we not meant to get?
Cinema on Friday. Question mark.
Question mark. What Britain? Question mark.
Bad times.
Yeah, so how old were you?
Maybe like 14.
Okay, so old enough.
Old enough.
Well, it was not a mature one,
right?
No.
Did you go to the cinema with him?
No.
No.
I feel like you need to be in a relationship with someone before you can start writing them poetry.
Do you think? What kind of relationship?
No, like, you've got to be like, you know, if it's going to be a love poem, you've got to already be with them. Otherwise, it's just weird.
But are lyrics poems? This is what we were also discussing the other day.
Well, I just asked you that.
Are you said, or did you?
Yeah.
I apologise.
It's alright.
Do you lyrics for your own good?
Kind of, but sometimes they don't sound good without the music. So, like, I also have written lyrics in the past.
Yeah.
But then I think if you just say them out loud, they're not as good as, you know, because the music is adding another dimension, another layer of emotion, and another. It's shaping the communication of the words. But then sometimes
but
when you strip
melody.
The lyrics back. Yeah. Yeah, but that is emotion, isn't it? In the same way that when we speak, it's the vowel sounds that are carrying emotion, and that's how we express ourselves.
I always thought if you're doing shit poetry, put it to music and call it lyrics because you've got something else to listen to.
But then some lyrics are so good, so.
Is that alright? Does anyone agree with that?
You might be disregarding my whole practice there, Wes.
Sorry, mate. Your words are
fine.
Shit, but your music's okay.
I mean, it's all.
And then your music wasn't that good, so you did some art as well.
Do some visual. Confuse them all.
So actually,
everything you do is kind of okay.
I think.
You do it all.
If my dad was talking about it, Jack of all trades, master of.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That was mean. I didn't mean
but no,
I've actually listened to any of your stuff.
Well, we're at a good starting point now, then.
Yeah.
We can talk about it, and then that can feed into you. Not liking my stuff.
I'll buy some up with
and
a
it's
check.
A collective, so it's not on me anyway.
nice. But don't you think sometimes lyrics without the music can sometimes do the reverse, and when you actually read them, you're like, oh my god. Because also when you get the lyrics wrong all the time, like I do, and then you actually read them, you're like, oh my god, that song means so much more now.
The classic semi-frontier.
I did that this morning in the car, actually. I was singing along to an old song that there's a few old mates and we love that tune, and I still have no idea, and as I was singing it, I thought, if you just turn this down now, I'm like going somebody hipper, you know, like just sort of making words up.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, he's saying something like that, isn't
something
it
cool.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's to do with melody then.
Giraffe.
Because I would say melody comes before the lyrics. So when you take the lyrics as poems, you're not appreciating the melody. Melody Melody's your hook in a song.
Yeah.
What about Archie Hunky's taking on a bit of a John Cooper Clarke?
So, I'll just, on that note...
If you like your coffee hunk, I will be your coffee butt. I want to be yours.
The
as it was.
John.
Arctic Monkeys album,
yeah.
I wrote every single lyric on my bed sheet.
And she said writing a poem for her was fucking crazy. Oh, weirdo! On your bed sheet! Oh my god.
I forgot you were a big fan.
Because I just thought
you
were
a big
so
fan
good.
Of Alex Turner, though, right?
Well, it was just that album at that moment in time. Now I'm not honest.
No, it was good. It was one of the few I've rated straight off the bat.
He's an incredible lyricist.
Yeah.
Not
exactly.
anymore, though, is he? Now
just
he thinks he's a fucking country music.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Put me in touch.
Yeah, but doesn't mean you have to like the songs, though.
True.
Yeah. And that means you're not liking the melody, in my opinion.
Mm. So would
you
call
can
him
sing
a
anything
poet?
With a good melody.
Would he be a poet?
He's a lyricist.
No, he's not.
But he's a writer.
That's a type of writer.
But if you're a lyricist, it has to go to good music. Oh my god.
I'm getting into this now. Yeah.
A typewriter.
But like, Alex Turner, right? Yeah. He did a great album. Number one.
Just one? He's only done one.
Right. No, but that was good, right? Then the second one was like, that was good. We'll just extend it a bit. We'll do a second album that's like it. Then after that, it was fucking propellering around like an arsehole. It just turned shit, man. It's
Is
terrible.
Is it Last Shadow Puppets? That was one of
went
the...
Oh,
that,
God,
that was
like
bollocks too.
I didn't buy it.
That's for people that are still on the sad bit. It's like you had a sad wank over the first two albums.
What?
And then after it, you were just
Wait,
like, please let me
wank?
Keep pulling myself off to the rest of what's going on
Wait.
In this terrible music
Why does it
land.
Have to be a sad wank?
Why, what is a sad
because
wank?
The first two
wait,
were like,
wait. What is a sad wank?
Is that Urban Dictionary?
The top definition from Urban Dictionary of a sad wank is to go home after a bad night out or other disheartening event and console oneself by sitting in the dark and having a wank. Also known as a Joni or an SW. Crying optional, but recommended.
Also known as... Yeah. Up rolls a riot van. Wank.
See, well,
have you right? Watched? And then everyone's living off that. And then they're like, oh, it's not done as good. But... Oh, we bought his first two albums and they were really promising, so now we've really got to stick with the Arctic Monkeys for the ride.
Yeah,
even though they sound like country musicians now, and he's changed his style completely, we've just got to stick with him because we said they were so good to our mates that we still have to say they were good.
I knew every lyric, slept in the lyrics, went to see them before anyone knew who they were.
You were the only person there?
Crowd surfed in a leopard print bikini at their gig
Good
twice
excellent stuff.
At the Academy.
Is that when you were 14 with the guy who took you there?
Banana boots in leopard print.
He was supportive.
Out they were.
Banana boots in leopard print. I made a sprint to be part of that stage dive.
Carry on, that idiot.
But that was it. I just went, that was it. It was only the first album and then...
Now you're very much like me. And that's why we do a podcast together, because we're strong-minded. Now this guy...
Strong-minded or flaky?
That's not flaky. This is the guy that's like, he's calling us flaky, because he's like, I've made an investment in this and I must stick with it.
I think I've got one Arctic Monkeys album, but I only bought that, I don't know, just one day in FOP. I was like, I haven't got it.
And now you're saying he's an amazing lyricist and everything is good.
You know Submarine, the film?
Yeah.
I would listen to that album a lot. I mean, it's only six songs, so it's quite easy on the ear. But... That, I associate him writing those songs specifically for that film, and I'm a massive fan of that film. So it's like taking him out of his own Arctic Monkeys bubble. I know I'm getting a bit intellectual on this, but
that's all right.
I love those six songs associated with that film.
Right, yeah. I feel like we need to put some structure into our story.
Okay. All
right. So, let's move to...
Game one. So, do you guys know what graphology is? Or graphology.
Graphology.
Is it
something to do with a graph?
Or is it to do with graffiti?
Or is it to do with graphene? Graphite?
No.
Pencil?
No.
Because I've had another discussion about writing the other day, and that's a term within graffiti.
Yeah.
Writers. So I'm going to say that. Something to do with graffiti.
Ed, any guesses?
I'm probably wrong.
No.
Okay. Dick Def number two. Graphology, or graphology, not sure, is the analysis of the physical characteristics and patterns of handwriting, claiming to be able to identify the writer, indicating psychological state at the time of writing, or evaluating personality characteristics. Mm-hmm. It is generally considered a pseudoscience.
I wonder if that's where graffiti comes from, though.
Maybe.
Writers within graffiti all have their own tag.
Yeah, they do. I had a tag.
Oh, God.
You got a tag?
It's still my initials.
What, around your ankle? For being creepy about Alex Turner. And they put your tag on.
Hey.
Sorry. Not sorry.
I'm going to tell you some characteristics of handwriting. I want you to tell me what they mean about your personality.
Okay. See, mine must mean I'm stubborn. Because my handwriting was that bad. Right, and my parents didn't have much cash, but they were told by the school the best way out of it. I had like different pens that the school all provided, and then they were like, look, you're gonna have to get him a handwriting tutor. So I got a handwriting tutor, and the handwriting tutor after 6 weeks just said, you're wasting your money, there's no point, his handwriting is never gonna change, it's just terrible. I've always had terrible handwriting. No, I've got stubborn handwriting.
I don't know if that's it's not stubborn or sad.
Well, it's not sad, because there's fucking keyboards now. They don't care.
He could have
voice control.
You could have used an Etch-a-Sketch.
Voice control.
An Etch-a-Sketch. Imagine writing a fucking novel in Etch-a-Sketch.
You need
now
a lot
that is something for your art collector.
Oh, yeah. I would pay for that.
I will patent that,
montage.
Is what you should have said. Yeah. I will patent that. There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, onwards with the game.
Onwards. So, yeah, from this a bit of a crappy website, as we said, it's a pseudoscience. If you're handwriting... Writing slants upwards. What does that mean?
How does your handwriting slant upwards?
Does that mean aspirational?
Well done, Chris. Point.
Thank you
very
much.
This could represent high levels of ambition, but be careful. It could also be a sign of arrogance.
But what does it mean if it slants up? Like, is that like your T's? Like up
towards the corner of the page.
Oh.
Slanting up.
Oh, okay. So
you
T's
know if you
write wonky.
In without lines.
Yeah.
If you're writing on a blank piece of paper and it happens to slide upwards.
Now that makes sense. All right, okay.
Okay.
That just looks messy to me. I had a dream about this last night, actually. Yeah. So I was saying, now I just remember, they were like, your handwriting's really straight. And I'm like, what are you on about? I think it's because I've been thinking about this podcast. And I used to pride myself, if I had a piece of paper with no lines, to be able to write straight. Because that's me being OCD, formatted how you want it to look.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter what I was writing, it was that it aesthetically pleased me.
I'm the same.
And then I'd fail the exam, but it looked barbaric. You know,
it would be a piece of art.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you also draw a perfect circle? Because we had to do that randomly in a maths lesson once, and they said, if you can draw it, it's a sign of madness, and I did it absolutely perfectly several times over.
There's a guy called Joran, Danish? And he's done a whole project on it with spray can, he's a graffiti artist.
Perfect.
To do with a spray paint, a huge circle. It's incredible when you see it done. It's a bit freaky. Sorry, anyway.
That's all right. Yeah. Okay, if your handwriting is smaller than average.
I guess you're
sedate, you're like relaxed,
you respect
other people's opinions too much.
Potentially shy, insecure.
Well, you might as well be writing it in lemon juice because it's that hidden.
Or you're really passive aggressive.
No, you're able to concentrate on the smaller things in life. You've got good attention to detail, and you're highly introspective. Well, the whole thing's rubbish, isn't it? All right, next. letters that don't close properly.
You're not a finisher. You can't finish a job. You go halfway through with it. Who wrote this? Right, if someone else wrote a book on this.
I told you.
I bet they write checks as well.
Right. Careless about finishing a job well, lazy, happy-go-lucky, or a deeper reason like depression.
Oh,
drop the bomb there.
All right. If your words are very close together.
You're very closed as a person.
You're really intense, I guess.
Yeah.
You need more personal space.
You've got a rushed mental state. Possibly neurotic. You should check in with yourself.
Check in, not with a doctor, just yourself. Make yourself more neurotic.
As well.
But it's like saying you've got to be more neurotic.
You've
got to check in with yourself. It's like, I'm already frantic. I'm doing things wrong. I'm more frantic.
What are you doing tonight? I'm just hanging out with myself.
Yeah. I'm just drawing a really thick line of writing. so condensed it just looks like a stain on the page.
Oh, that makes me claustrophobic. That, like, really
interesting. Yeah.
I get very claustrophobic sometimes. Okay. Only in soft things. I think I've said that on a podcast before.
What?
I mean, soft.
A claustrophobic in soft things.
Yeah, so if it's hard, it doesn't matter. Like, if it's like a soft play area, I'm dead.
All right, if you put hearts or circles above your eyes, like as in the letter I.
Oh, right, I thought you just meant like above your eyes.
Not makeup.
Like, you write in a sentence and you're just like, ooh.
No,
stimulate.
As in like, yeah. If you were writing, you put a little circle.
You know, girls used to at school, and you're always like, ooh. I don't know, that was proper girly, like bubble writing sort of. Like.
Oh, bubble writing does look nice though, doesn't it? I'm quite into the bit of bubble writing. Bubble writing in a scented pen is one of the most feminine things. Oh.
That's one of the most 2000s thing I can ever think of.
Thinking more like
bubble writing and scented pen.
Takes me back to dating.
92 for me, I think.
Do they have it in the 90s?
They used to have bubble writing in the 90s.
Did they?
Went all the way back.
This is the Arts Collector getting on the trends dead early.
Well, you know, like
10 years ahead.
So apparently,
imagine that if I did a bubble writing project now.
Do it.
He, really, he sent bubble writing off. I think there's a project in that.
There is, but be careful because it means apparently that
you're
you like
freak.
Attention, or it's a symptom of OCD.
This
is Cod's Wallop. It's not real.
That's a good word.
Codswallop is a great word. Isn't it? Is it one word?
Thanks.
Is that hyphenated?
Codswallop. That's good.
Dictionary That's corner over there.
Got to reinforce the point. False. We've not heard much of Ed this episode because he now believes that words are limited and you only have a certain amount of words.
Yeah,
in
I could only
life.
Say 20 words per episode.
Silence is golden.
Yeah, so use these words wisely, Ed.
Codswallop is one word.
But you've hit your quota for the day.
If your writing is scattered across the page,
just fuck off. I'm not interested. If your handwriting is that bad, I'm not interested.
Oh, is that just someone that's like cut bits out of a newspaper and stuck them on?
Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's a psychopath.
Apparently, it means you're talkative and excitable, you make a great friend, or you've got ADHD.
And your delivery on that, well, I said, is amazing.
Thank you.
Like,
you
really
I'm
fulfilled
trying.
The idea.
Thank you. Okay, if you've got loopy or curly handwriting.
Does it mean you eat brown bread? And the crusts?
Loopy or curly handwriting?
I thought that actually curly hair thing
is
would
that
have been
actually to do with being.
Yeah, I got it.
Is this to do with being flamboyant or artistic? Ness.
So
no, that's a word.
It says sympathetic, emotional, or intuitive. Right, angular or pointy lettering.
You're Viking and you like runes.
You're a Viking.
You like runes.
You like runes.
And do you write loons?
What's
runes? Loons. Would you like to write a loon?
Hang on. Come down this rune and write a loon with me.
Come into the room and do a loon with some runes.
What's a rune?
A rune is like
a ruin.
It's like
basically.
Viking. What? No, it's like Viking writing, where it was quite straight because
oh,
they put
hold
it into.
Hold on, Susie Dent's back.
Stealth Dent in the corner
stealth
there. Just in black.
A letter of an ancient Germanic alphabet related to the Roman alphabet, or a section of the Kalevala, or an ancient Scandinavian poem, which is done in runes. Rune.
What was that again? Kalevala.
Kalevala. I'm trying to plain speak so I don't culturally insult anyone.
I don't think that was plain speak. Kalevala.
We've actually got listeners to this podcast from Norway and Finland.
Wow, you haven't any more.
So now they've gone.
Oh, God.
Kalevala. And for those guys, Helvetica. They know that.
Helvetica.
It's one of the worst swear words you can
do. It sounds like a ride at Alton Towers.
It's also a font on Word.
I know.
Is that what I did? No, maybe it's not the swear word.
Helvetica.
Ariel.
No, apparently angular or pointy lettering means you've got inner turmoil and it's a sign of your mental energy, including anger.
See, I feel like I can be quite an angry person, but my handwriting is quite soft and curly.
Is it? I'm going to write something and I'm going to analyse. Right. If you've got capital letters that are huge.
Is that a bit me, me, me?
Is Is that a bit Stalin?
Attention seeking.
Yeah, you secretly wish you were famous or recognised. The bigger the letters, the more you enjoy being noticed.
One a page. And there he is.
Here we go. Hello.
See, I would have done one a page.
Right, last one. If you've got an open space at the bottom of an A or an O.
Capital.
No, so like if you write a small O or a small A, if you don't close it completely at the bottom.
Oh, right.
Which I don't think I do, which is bad.
I don't
according
know.
To this.
What does that mean?
Wes?
I've been choking on wine. I've been choking on wine.
If there's an open space at the bottom of an A or an O.
You mean you've got commitment issues?
Oh, what? If it's.
Good, Chris. Good.
But not a capital A.
Like you strut.
Are you going to get me to write and I do every.
It means apparently that you struggle with honesty or you can be misleading.
Oh.
Mm. And then at the bottom, it's like a little disclaimer on this website that's full of shit.
Rubbish.
Handwriting traits like these can be mighty revealing, but it's important to consider other factors as well. Just because you draw little hearts doesn't mean you have OCD, for example.
Wow.
But it may be a revealing quirk that's definitely worth looking into.
Or not, as the case may be.
Well, I was going to say, which of those best reflects your handwriting, and do you think that the description is accurate to your personality?
My handwriting's quite curly.
Quite curly. So would you say that you are sympathetic, emotional and intuitive?
I would say I can be emotional and quite intuitive, but I'm not the most sympathetic person.
Wes, which of those do you most
identify with? I don't know, my handwriting's terrible.
But I am learning to be more sympathetic. It's a trait that has grown in me. Just as a disclaimer there. Over the last year, it's... Yeah. But do you know what I don't do anymore is generally write in lowercase.
Are you a capital man?
Mm. I do that.
Because it's
just
the easier.
It's bad handwriting, isn't it?
Because
like, if I do capital...
No, it's not bad.
It's not as bad as Wes's.
Mine's terrible. All right. God, my poor family spent money they didn't have getting me a tutor.
That's it. I'd say that's quite a big capital letter. And a massive exclamation mark.
Well, you know, that's a visual thing, isn't it? But it's all quite curly. But I remember when we were
a
at school,
bit curly.
Started copying other people's handwriting who you'd like and I'd mimic it.
Would
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
fucking creepy.
I can write.
That's
write
really.
Well
is that not creepy?
Well.
See,
mimicking
I,
other
it's
people's
about
handwriting.
Aesthetic.
No, well,
I agree. Yeah.
And I was because weren't you like when you were 10, dead conscious of what your autograph or your signature was going to be, and you used to practice it over and over.
Well,
I still
oh my god!
Do
like I'm glad you weren't in the actual Instagram generation because you'd be really fucked.
What?
Because, like...
You don't have to...
If you're, like, looking at people's handwriting and being like, oh, my God, how nervous is everyone else?
Yeah.
Well, I signed loads of solicitor's papers the other day and every signature was different to the point where I was just, like...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So I work in a
you're
job...
You're still going to give us
yeah,
the mortgage.
Exactly. I work in a job where I have to know quite... recognise quite a few people's signatures off by heart and that loads of them are just a pile of shit. It's
yeah.
nothing. It's
people
just a squiggle.
So lazy.
But it's the same squiggle
I
over and over.
Kate,
so it's
actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that is Kate.
Yeah.
I work with Kate.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's just funny.
I know someone that had to do all of their essays at university from beginning to end without any spelling mistakes in handwriting.
Okay.
Or they weren't happy. And they restart the entire thing.
They couldn't cross it out.
Yeah.
They needed one of those erasable pens called a pencil.
Oh, found out the other day, you know you used to have rubbers and one end was blue?
Yeah.
Do you know what that's for?
Ink.
No.
Oh.
It's for rubbing out pencil on graph paper.
No!
So you don't rub the graph away?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want to shake your hand for that one. Is that true?
Why
yeah, apparently.
Why didn't our teachers tell us that? They didn't
that's
know,
great.
Did they?
I want to do my signature now.
So I think my signature... And my handwriting is the, like an exact genetic crossover of my mum's handwriting and my dad's handwriting.
See, my dad writes
weird.
In capitals.
Does he?
And I used
all
to think that was really weird, and now I just do it all the time.
Right, that was game one. I think you won, Chris. Congrats.
Thanks. I took it too seriously.
Let's talk about wills.
Oh.
Okay.
Right. I mean, how many people in my immediate family have died recently? I think we've had four. So we've had four.
Writing
so it's got me
will.
Thinking about wills. I mean, I'm surprisingly unscarred.
Didn't you have to write one to get a house? Because my mates who've all bought houses are like, you have to write a will to have a house.
No, you don't.
No,
well,
you don't
have to, but it's strongly encouraged.
Yeah. Insurance is more preferred.
But
than a will.
Unless you're, are they all married?
Get all serious on it.
Mm. One of them's just got married.
All right, because if you're unmarried, it is. But if you're married, then there's like
then
a
legally binding thing.
Unless you've got a little prenup in there. Anyway, wills.
Writing a will.
So I'm going to give you some inspiration. First and then at the end of it,
fuck
so
all
you don't have to
give.
Listen to me. I want to know stuff that you would do with your will. Maybe to be a dickhead, maybe to be nice. Don't. So, the classic one is Shakespeare, the second best bed.
Our Will,
gave Anne Hathaway the second best bed. It's like a snub, right? That's a classic one.
Who's Anne Hathaway? She's in The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes, but also Anne Hathaway took her name from Anne Hathaway, Shakespeare's wife, trained actor!
Did she?
Yeah! Right, A Boozy Weekend was another one, done by Roger Brown.
That's
he was
what?
67 years old. This guy called Roger Brown is just a randomer. He lost his life to prostate cancer in 2013.
Okay.
But he gave £3,500 to seven of his closest friends between them to have a really boozy weekend in a European city.
You probably couldn't get that boozy, seven of you, on that much money.
I mean, what are you drinking?
Nice gesture, though.
Kid Dom Perignon. Right? So, the German poet Heinrich Henry Heine.
That's an amazing name.
So he left his estate to his wife Matilda on the condition that she remarry, and the condition was there will be at least one man to regret my death. So if she remarried, there'd be another guy that'd be really pissed off because she was that bad of a wife.
Oh, that's a curse.
That took me a while to explain, didn't it?
Yeah, it's not really good.
And one of the favourite ones, so this is like, look at everyone looking into the air. It's got very spacey, this episode.
Yeah.
And the last one, right, that I pulled out is 70 Strangers from a Phone Directory. So basically, a Portuguese aristocrat called Luís Carlos de Noronha Cabral. I'm going to try that again now I've read it through. Luís Carlos de Noronha Cabral da Câmara.
Oh, no.
What was the runes one you did before?
Helvetica. I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm going to check that back.
Calibri.
Anyway, he left his entire fortune to 70 random strangers from a Lisbon phone directory.
Huh. How much was
that's
his fortune?
Nice.
Well, I don't know. He's an aristocrat, so it's probably only trust funds.
Yeah,
so
most aristocrats are skint, aren't they? They've all gone bankrupt.
So anyway,
leaving his debt to them.
I mean, I was trying to give you inspiration.
Where
but
you've
just been really
from?
Fucking depressed, so.
But you're just talking about writing wills.
Yeah.
That would be that positive.
Wills are funny.
I think to write a will, I think you've got to have money, haven't you?
Yeah.
No. You can give people shit stuff, like a floorboard.
So what would I leave in my will?
Yeah, what would you do for your will?
I haven't got anything to give anyone.
Nothing.
What
you must have
legacy?
Some material. You're wearing a jumper right now.
It's a dress.
Oh, is it?
Get it right. Where?
You went to the vintage shop for an oversized jumper.
I didn't.
And called it a dress. No, it's a dress.
It's off ASOS.
Would you creatively write your will?
This is what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, what I was trying to get across from the examples.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it would be quite creative.
I would do a word search.
So
I know only the people who could find the correct words would be able to get it.
Now
to get your ASOS jumper.
Yeah. There'd be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be a
word search.
It would
be a massive word search across the wall. And I'd be like, if you could find ASOS dress, you can have it. If you can find iPhone, it's yours. It'll be fucked by then anyway.
Right, I like this.
Yeah,
I like this.
That's
right,
what I'm doing.
Good.
No one else has allowed it. Patented.
Patented.
Done.
Okay. So
I'm
going to write my will.
Yeah. Now, I feel like, Chris, you're fundamentally like taking this podcast the wrong way. Because you're being quite serious right now. And basically, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
I've actually spoken to my dad about, if I die before my dad, what songs I want at the funeral.
Oh yeah,
we had a chat
I've done
about
this before.
That's
but
healthy.
Just the songs.
That's okay, that's good.
Well, I definitely want, and this...
Alex Turner.
Yeah.
The last
the whole submarine soundtrack.
Fucking hell. Six songs of torture.
So, I know they're quite cheesy, but I do, you know, you can be smart and try and have these niche songs, but... The Walk of Life by Dire Straits.
Yeah.
And Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by
Otis
Redding. So people are going to cry at the Otis Redding tune, but But then it's going to be like, woo-hoo! And everyone will be like, yeah, probably still crying.
I hope it's
been
really dark. Funeral,
my friend
oh,
yeah. Oasis, Stop Crying Your Heart Out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Have you heard the demo of that?
I'll
it's amazing.
That.
I mean,
the
your classic
demo.
Is like really Fields good. Of Gold, isn't it? Everyone gets that one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What would I just be really dark, wouldn't it?
I've got stuff with my mate, right? So whoever dies first, right? The other one, halfway through the funeral, families don't know, but they're going to know now, which will make it actually quite more funny, like a bit more funny, is they have a massive fucking stake. You walk up in the worst bit of the funeral, smash that fucking stake through the coffin, and go, got the last nail in his coffin, see you in a bit, and walk out.
I right? guarantee you won't do that.
I guarantee I will fucking do that, and it'll be funny.
It won't be funny.
It will be. It doesn't matter. And I hope we get a bit of squish out of him as well. Right, but that would happen.
You'll go to prison.
Well, I don't care. It's last will and testament. Like, that's in the will. Like, this is what I thought was going to come out. Not, I want these two songs to make people feel things. I mean, come on. This is the West Side Story.
All right,
it's not fucking therapy. Sort yourselves out, guys.
So we're meant to say we're going to puncture the dead body of our friends with a spear.
It would fucking
this
stink.
Is what you want.
All right, I'll tell you for a fucking fact, you wouldn't get it through the coffin.
No.
Because it'd be the coffins are solid.
It's wicker,
unless
mate.
Unless you get a wicker one,
yeah,
biodegradable. It's wicker. That's what
medical. Right, on this moment, Prof Law failed. Okay.
Oh, no, it didn't fail.
We're
what
moving through. Two truths, one lie.
Yes,
bloody hell.
I quite like this.
As we would say in Chorley, pushing treacle up a fucking hill. Two truths, one lie. Right, it's all about writers.
Oh, a bit of a theme.
Yeah, imagine that. Keeping to the theme of the episode. So, if you're around in Victorian times, you could be hypnotised by Charles Dickens.
Right. If you were around in Victorian times, you could be hypnotised by Charles Dickens.
Right.
Number two. Enid Blyton killed one of her children.
Oh. Depends what you mean by killed.
I reckon that involves death.
I hope that kid... yeah, I hope that kid was wise enough to write their own will.
Okay.
I'm gonna say.
That's number two.
And Stephen King is scared shitless of triple whammy ears.
What?
Stephen King is scared shitless of triple whammy ears.
Triple whammy
ears. Years.
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 What a triple whammy ears.
What
years.
Is that?
What's a triple whammy ear?
Well,
triple
you guys.
Triple whammy years. Oh, where he gets three bestsellers in 1 year.
Well, I mean, I can't say anything. Otherwise, that's the game gone.
All right. Enid Blyton
killed a kid.
Yes, that one's done.
True.
I don't like the fact that you had to be. The first one was if you lived around
if
that time. Well, that's obvious because I can't be killed unless they time travel.
But you're about you killed.
No, you, what was the first one?
If you're around in Victorian times,
yeah,
you could be hypnotised by Charles Dickens.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
away,
anyone could
that,
be.
What I'm getting from that is, what if I'm not around in Victorian times? Could I be still hypnotised by him? So there's a flaw in that one for me. I think that's bullshit.
Bad question.
So by, I'm saying second and third are true.
I'm saying the...
Second and third?
I'm saying the what? First and the second are true and the third one's a lie.
By default.
No, not by default. I reckon you could have been hypnotised by him. Because
only if you're in the Victorian
but could means there's a potential or a possibility. Well, there's a possibility and potential in all of it.
Right, so you're saying the lie is...
First one.
Is if you were around in Victorian times, you could be hypnotised by Charles Dickens.
You got to give...
And Nadia, you're saying the lie is...
Triple whammy ears.
The triple whammy ears.
Ed.
And Edward, what are you saying?
I
use your words wisely.
Yeah,
you, only,
you have a word quota. This is using up tomorrow's words, Ed.
First one is a lie.
So agreeing with me.
Agreeing with Chris.
Right, you're all fucked.
Was it one in three?
Enid Blyton killed one of her children. I can't believe you thought this of Enid Blyton.
I can.
I did. She did not kill one of her children. However, and here we go, I shall quote
she killed
from,
someone else's.
No, she did not kill anyone.
Someone died. It wasn't her fault.
But Her neighbours at Greenhedges recalled how Blyton used to complain about the fearful racket made by children playing.
Yeah.
She was frosty, distant, and unkind to her younger daughter Imogen, who called her arrogant, insecure, pretentious, and without a trace of maternal instinct.
Should I look at her handwriting?
But yeah, so basically, they all said her approach to life was quite childlike, but she hated kids and she preferred her own child.
That before,
but she
yeah.
never killed anyone.
Yeah, but you don't know that. You don't know that. She might have got away with it. It's not going to be online then, is it?
It is going to be online. Everyone wants to besmirch an old writer.
No, but if you don't know that she actually, if she got away with it, it wouldn't be online.
Yeah, but then that's saying.
No, because it all comes out in the wash, as they say, and there's been many years to wash.
Not if you burn the body.
Yeah, it does. You eat the crisps. That makes no sense, but I'm sticking with that. Right, Stephen King was a tri-skydecaphobe, which is scared of having... So he's scared of the Friday the 13th.
Scared.
Yeah, and a triple whammy year is when you have three Friday the 13ths in the same year. The last one was 2012.
Yeah.
The next one is 2026.
So he is... Right, okay.
So he is. And he's genuinely scared of those years.
I didn't.
Now, your final one is, if you're around in the Victorian times, you could be hypnotised by Charles Dickens.
That's rubbish.
He was a massive fan of hypnotisation. He even did it on his... Hypnotisation? Is that what we call it? Hypnotism. I think it's hypnotism.
Hypnotisation
across the nation. Is that the...
Hypnosis.
But yeah, so he did it on his wife, he did it on his friends, he used it for medical purposes and various other things.
Of course,
but
you hear about the fucking Ghost of Christmas Future. That's trippy
shit. Pretty good, actually.
Christmas Future and past, wasn't
it? Muppet Christmas Carol version, actually.
You really messed up.
No,
so there you go.
No, I love that. Oh, but yeah, we watched that at the Christmas that time.
I fucking hate
it. At the end of the day, I'm shocked that you thought Enid Blyton would kill one of the secrets.
I think she did.
Now what I actually did, because I feel like it's getting a bit wet these days because I'm actually winning most of the time in these, is that I've started wording things to the way you think they should be worded to deceive you. So that is my clue for next episode.
It's quite
a... Okay.
Rewriting the rules.
I was rewriting the rules of West Side Story. Yeah. Or do we have another provlar? I feel like you should say something. Come on. Do you have anything? Any question in your mind about writing? Anything left in the...
Is there anything left in
there? Is everything left on the floor of Ed and Nadia's flat, this West Side Story?
Well, I should ask you three. Do you ever write?
Yes.
This was like the first question of the episode.
Well,
thanks, guys.
Back.
This has been West Side Story.
Yeah, but
we're going to go with some...
But before we started...
We're going to go
but we talk...
with some closing statements now.
No,
beginning
we're
with... Look up on!
No, because you never finished why you stopped writing.
Oh, why you stopped writing?
Yeah.
I thought you said, have you ever written?
Yeah, but then I wanted to... It was leading to something before you started shouting.
Oh, we've got to keep that in. That was dead rude. Can we keep that in?
Yeah.
And can we have me say
I like
I
you
keep
being
in?
Shot down.
Yeah.
I've not been shot down.
Why did you stop
He was
writing?
Using too many words because he's not a good writer. So...
Come on.
Why did I've not stopped writing.
Okay.
But I'm just not saying I'm a writer now.
But you still write. So you're a writer.
Now and again. But, no, I've not written of late, but I have written in the past, and I might write in the future. At the end of the day, do not write off.
Riddle me this.
Yeah, do never write off your future, Chris.
I'm not.
Never write off your future.
I'm writing yours off.
Nadia.
What?
Do you
ever,
still write, Nadia?
Do you still write?
Yeah.
You do?
I often write people little poems. To go in cards. I wrote one last week. I've got a published play.
Yeah.
So you wrote a play that was
as
published.
We devised a play and then we wrote down what we ended up with and it was published.
By.
A publisher.
Where can we get it?
I just got an email a few years later being like, is it okay if we sell the rights and publish it? And I was like, yeah.
Well, let you see. This is a good ending.
Yeah.
Sort of
and
good,
then like,
leading
yeah, just
questions.
Like on
have you been
people's
published?
Cards and stuff, I write them.
Yeah, actually, I think I have. Yeah.
I've also been published once.
Yeah.
It was when I was 13.
But that,
no, the younger. 10. I don't know.
It was only a couple of years ago where I've ever... you know, you get sleeve notes with albums, obviously.
Yeah.
I've always been one for not letting people read the lyrics. So you can sing along and go, hush, man, man. Not really.
You prefer that.
Yeah, quite like the old pub singing. Yeah. Hush, yeah. I know this one.
Morrissey's a classic for that,
yeah.
isn't
yeah.
it?
But, right, we had a published book out for a project 2 years ago with an album and everything. It's the first time I said, oh, I'm going to put my lyrics in this book. And we launched it in Manchester, launched it in London, and this guy came up to one of the collective and went, oh, mate, really like the poems in that book. And the guy was like, no, 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 it's like, hear the album playing in the gallery. It's their lyrics. And he went, yeah, sweet, mate, so I really like the poems in the book. And he's like, no, they're lyrics. Can you hear them? They're being sung now. And he's like, sweet poems, and walked off. So I was like, I'll take that. I'm now a published poet.
No, I could not think of a better way to end up.
No.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Right, Chris.
Closing statements. What have you learnt today?
That you're a published writer. I already knew that Wes shouts a lot, but I didn't realise on the scale sometimes that he shouts. But he's also a writer. Not a writer, but potentially a writer in the future. And I've also learnt that Ed has a word count, a daily word count. And if he passes on that quota, it goes into next day's words.
That's why he needs to get in the will quick.
To steal some of his words.
At the end of his words, he dies. It's like a yogi with breaths. Yogis believe they only have a certain amount of breaths in their life. Ed believes he only has a certain amount of words in his life.
No, we believe Ed only has a certain amount
of words. No, Ed believes it. That's why he doesn't speak that much.
Notes of podcast. Ed is nodding.
Ed nodding because he doesn't want another wrinkle.
Yeah.
And Nadia, what have you learnt this episode?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
I think you've learnt a lot about yourself.
Have I?
To do with actually being, when I've asked you about writing, you were like, oh yeah, I've actually been published.
Oh yeah, no, just stuff I forgot.
Yeah.
I just remembered stuff. Well, I've also learnt what a rune is.
I think you've also learnt how creepy you are about Alex Turner. Or maybe
no,
I've learnt that.
No, yeah. I already knew that.
Yeah.
No, I've learnt what a rune is. I've forgotten again, but it's a Viking poem or word or letter.
And I've learnt
that Enid Blyton's a killer.
No, I've learnt that inspiration could come from anywhere, including a leotard covered in leopard print at an Arctic Monkeys gig.
Was it a leotard?
And someone might be inspired to write beautiful, a bikini.
It was just a top. It's just a bikini top and jeans.
Top and no bottoms could inspire such beautiful poetry. Thanks everyone. This has been West Side Story. It's been writing. It's been a fucking disaster, but it's been a great one. See you soon.
Bye.
See ya.